welcome to everyone. It's great to have you here with your families and having so many children going out to the puppet show and the different activities that they've got out there. It's just awesome to do. It's great to do things as a family, isn't it? And just to do some special things and to include God in that, because really God is our Heavenly Father and He wants us to be in His family, and that's really what today is all about. But obviously you would have seen the invitations and the theme for Father's Day, Wild at Heart. Some of you might be wondering, what's this wild business? What's this all about? And I guess Nathan and Dean have given us a little possibility of what that could be like with the competition this morning. But I just want to say right at the beginning that we're not promoting wild, angry fatherhood. Just want to make that real clear. Just in case there's any confusion, and this morning, as I talk about this, I want to just talk a little bit about what it might be to be a wild at heart dad. So let's just pause for a moment and just put this little bit of time that we've got into God's hands, shall we? So let's just pray. Yeah, Lord God, I just thank you that you are our Father, and I thank you that sometimes you're not quite like we think you are. You are a little bit more wild at heart and out there and adventurous than sometimes we realize. And I just pray that today we'd start to catch your heart and catch a little bit of what you want us to be as husbands and fathers and dads and mums as well today. So we just pray for your blessing on our time. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you think about wild at heart, I guess we could think about the outdoors. We could think about hunting, fishing, surfing, adventurous type dads that are willing to give things a go. Would that be right? I think that is one aspect of perhaps what wild at heart could mean. And as opposed to being boring and perhaps stuffy, as we used to say, and a little bit predictable. And sometimes we can fall into that routine of life, and life can just get, you know, monotonous and the same. I don't believe that God wants us to be like that. But actually, it's what we're talking about today. It's more than what we do as dads and husbands and fathers. Because some of us may not actually be into hunting and fishing and surfing or sports or outdoors at all. And does that mean that it rules out a whole segment of us guys that we can't actually be wild at heart, as it were? But I think we all can be wild at heart, men and women, actually, but particularly the dads today. And it's being a little bit out there. It's being the sort of person that actually is exciting to be around rather than a little bit nervous to be around. It could be a person or a dad who is a visionary that actually instills a can-do attitude in our kids. That actually, if you really want to go for it and you can, and you know, God's with you, all sorts of things are possible. If we can instill that sense of adventure and limitless possibility into our kids, I think that's more the sort of thing we're talking about today. That it's more of an attitude rather than what we do, but it does flow into what we do. And I want to talk a little bit today about our Heavenly Father, because I actually think He's a role model of this. I'm speaking about God today. And, you know, we have different concepts and different ideas of what God is like. But the Bible gives us a picture of what God is like. And on one hand, we understand that God, our Heavenly Father, He is stable and He is reliable and He's always there and He never changes and He'll never let us down. Isn't that awesome? But on the other hand, sometimes as we read through the Bible, we realize that He does the unexpected things. He does things that sometimes are just right out there, exciting and dramatic and unexpected. Sometimes the God that we get to know as we read the Bible can even be a little bit mysterious or romantic at times. How's that for a challenge, guys? I just want to tell you a few little examples of this and from the Bible. And some of these are some of the more out there things that God has done or been involved with. Like back in Noah's time, right back in the book of Genesis, we're told that things on earth had got so bad that God decided he had to have, there needed to be a fresh start. And so he brought this huge flood on the earth. But then he realized there was one man that was different to all the rest. That guy was Noah. And he got this one man and his sons to build a humongous boat, bigger than a rugby field. If you see the dimensions that are written there in the book of Genesis, it was an incredible sized boat, and it had three decks, and it was big enough for all of Noah's family and every male and female of every animal and creature on earth. It's a pretty out there sort of a thing, isn't it, that God got Noah to do. And when the flood came, they floated around out there for over a year before the flood came down, and it was like a whole fresh start for the earth. That's what the Bible tells us. And God saved them. He saved Noah and his family and all the animals, and it was like how random is that? That whole situation. And then we have someone a little bit further on in the Bible, like there's a guy who was a prophet, and his name was Jonah. And God said, Jonah, I want you to go and preach in the big city of Nineveh. Nineveh was a huge city, but the people were sinning and they were going the wrong way, and God wanted to bless them, and because of their lifestyle, he couldn't. And Jonah said, no way, I'm not going to Nineveh. Those guys are our enemies. I'm not going to go and preach there and have them blessed. And so he hopped on a ship and he sailed in the opposite direction. That's what the Bible tells us. He ran in the opposite direction. And God said, sorry, Jonah, you are going to Nineveh. And he organized a storm that hit the ship so hard that the ship almost sank. They had to toss things over, and in the end they tossed Jonah over as well. The storm stopped, but God didn't just leave Jonah to drown, because he had a plan for him. And we're told that a huge fish came and took Jonah to safety. And for 3 days he was inside that fish, probably a whale, and the whale spewed him up, probably back near to where this great city was that God wanted him to go to. How unlikely was that? That's what the Bible tells us God did. And we keep going on through, and then there's another time when the armies of Israel and the Philistines, they were arch enemies, and their two armies were facing each other. And there was a standoff between them. And they couldn't decide how they were going to win this battle. And so the Philistines said, all right, we'll put up one man, one champion, and you guys do the same, and there'll be a fight to the death, and whoever wins out of our two champions, that will be the decider of the war. And so they put up their champion. And he was a 9-foot-tall giant. That's what the Bible tells us. And he was all decked out in armor. He had a huge sword and a spear, and he was unbeatable. The Israelites had no one to match him. They were all too scared of him. And then until a shepherd boy turned up with a slingshot and a stone, and he said, I'll give it a go. I'll give him a go. I'll take him on. And with God's help, the Bible tells us that he dropped that giant. He flung a stone from his slingshot, got the giant right between the eyes and the only weak part of his armor, dropped him and got the giant sword out of the sheath and cut his throat and won the battle. How exciting is that? You know, some people actually struggle to believe that some of these things literally happened. Sometimes even us Christians, we wonder. But I want to suggest to you guys, it's because we don't know who God is. We don't understand him. We think he's small, he's safe, he's predictable, he's boring, and he wouldn't do that sort of thing. I want to tell you guys that the God that I'm getting to know, and I'm still getting to know him, there's so much more, and he's so much bigger, and he's so much more unpredictable and does such unexpected things sometimes. I think now that as I'm getting to know him, I think that sort of stuff is actually right in God's nature. It's just the sort of thing he would love to do. And I don't find that terribly difficult to believe, especially when I consider that all the New Testament writers, hundreds, some of them thousands of years later, obviously literally believed that those things happened, and they spoke about them. Jesus spoke about them. Jesus spoke about Noah, and he spoke about Jonah and how Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale, and just like that, he predicted he was going to be 3 days in death. Jesus believed this stuff. The apostles believe it. The writers of the New Testament, they kept referring back to these things as historical things that actually happened. And for me, I no longer have any questions or challenges around that stuff. Recently, we've been learning about Joshua and the conquest of Canaan here at Surfside. We've been doing a series through this, and we've been learning about how God led Joshua to get his people to take the promised land, the land of Canaan. And the very first obstacle that they came up against was the city of Jericho. And we learned about how the Israelites, God told them to march around the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, they marched around it 7 times. I mean, and we've learned about that's a crazy battle plan. That's what God instructed them to do. And then on the seventh day, after they'd marched around 7 times, what did he tell them to do? Give a great shout. And what happened? The walls of the city, Jericho, fell down, and they went straight in and they took the city. You see, up until then, those walls had been so high and so wide and so impenetrable that they couldn't take the city. But with God's help, they did. But what I want to talk about today is that actually there was one section of that wall that didn't fall down. We haven't talked about this yet, and I think we need to today when we think about how wild and amazing our God can be sometimes. The Bible tells us that right around the city of Jericho, there was this really high wall. And back then, with the technology that they had, that city was impenetrable. They couldn't get through it, even though they would have outnumbered the people, 50 to 1, possibly. They could not break through that wall. It was so high, and the walls were thick. It was wide enough to build a small house and live in the walls. Around the tops of the walls, people lived there. That's what the Bible talks about, the city of Jericho. That's how wide and tall and strong those walls were. Yet when God shook the place, all the walls fell flat, except for one little section. And it's interesting that one little section had a scarlet rope hanging out the window of the house in the wall. And that scarlet rope was a sign to the Israelites, and it was a sign to God. And it was like a call, remember me. Or like a cry for help from one person that lived in that city. Out of all the thousands of people living in the city of Jericho, God was careful not to damage one house, just one house on that huge city wall. And that one house was where a young woman lived. And God took particular interest in her, not because she was particularly good, because actually she wasn't. She was a prostitute in that city. And that was a really sinful place. We've talked about that. And there was all sorts of stuff going on there. And she was probably as bad as the rest of them, or more so. by her lifestyle. But because she had done something, she had hidden the spies at the risk of her own life. She had stood up for God and his people at the risk of her life. And in turn, she'd asked for a favor. She said to the spies, when you guys come and take this city, I believe you're going to, and I believe that your God is stronger than our God. That's what she was saying. And I believe that something's going to happen here. And I'm asking you, I'll save you guys if you save me when that day comes. So that was the deal. And the scarlet rope was the sign. That's why when God shook the place, he took a lot of care, actually. He must have. For the whole place to fall down except for one little section, he took a lot of care not to bring down that little section of wall because Rahab the prostitute lived there. And God had made a commitment through his men, through his people, that she would be safe because she'd cried out for help. To me, along with the other things that I've mentioned today, you know, about Noah and the boat and Jonah and the whale and David slaying Goliath and that little picture of God going right out of his way to save one person that just asked for help, cried out for help from her heart. To me, that gives me just a little bit of a glimpse of what wild at heart might look like. It's pretty out there, isn't it? When you read this stuff and you begin to understand what really happened, what really went on. God did all he could to help someone who was just crying out to be rescued. And he went to great lengths to honor a commitment that had been made on his behalf. I think as guys, gives us a little bit of a glimpse of how we can be as dads. Honoring a commitment, not because we have to, God didn't have to, but because we can. And there's a big difference, isn't there? The story of Rahab doesn't quite end there. As they went in and they took the city, the soldiers went in, they were trained and they had swords and they did their job and they killed everybody in that place as they'd been commanded to, except Rahab's house was still standing. And so the spies, they had been commissioned by Joshua to go in and rescue her and her parents and her brothers and sisters, and that's what they did. So Rahab and her family not only survived, but the Bible tells us that they took her and her parents and her brothers and sisters and they put them in a special place on the edge of their camp. And they lived there from that time onwards as a part of God's people, in God's family, as it were. Pretty awesome thing, isn't it, that happened there, that commitment to a promise, that care that God, our Heavenly Father, took. In fact, the Bible tells us that Rahab, who started her life out as a prostitute in one of the most destitute places on earth, where there was occultic stuff and all sorts of stuff going on around her, she ended up marrying an awesome Israelite man, and his name is Salmon. The Bible gives us his name and the name of, and they had a son. And the Bible tells us that Rahab actually ended up becoming the great-grandmother of King David. He's the one, actually, that went and killed Goliath with a stone. So can you see how sometimes in families, if we step out and we make a stand and there's an element of faith, even in difficult situations, how it can flow down through the family. And the blessing that Rahab set up, I think Rahab set up blessing for her descendants. And I think that's one of the reasons why King David became probably one of the greatest kings this world has ever seen in his time. He was an incredible king, incredible leader. But it doesn't end there. Ultimately, the Bible tells us that Rahab, through King David and through the family line, actually became an ancestor in the family line of Jesus. Jesus Christ himself. And it's all recorded there in Matthew chapter 1. And her name is, Rahab's name is mentioned in verse 5. And along with her husband and then their son and their grandson and King David. And it goes right down through the generations to Joseph, who was the stepfather of Jesus. Or the, what everyone thought was the natural father to Jesus. So that's what can happen. It's pretty wild, isn't it? It's pretty amazing, actually, what God can do. And sometimes we put him into such a little box and we think we want to make him safe, we want to make him boring, we want to be religious, we don't want it to be too out there. But that's not our God. He's not limited. He's not small. He's not boring. He's exciting. He's wild, actually. Wildly in love with us. He's wildly cool. And sometimes I think as men, we need to catch that. We need to catch that heart of our Heavenly Father. And just be willing to be different. You know, there's a world out there that tries to squeeze us into a mold of what we should be like. As men, we shouldn't have emotions, should we? God does. As men, we've got to do things a certain way according to the peer pressure in the world and the things that we experience around us. But God says, no, no. When you're my son, when you're my daughter, when you're my family, things are going to be different. Isn't that cool? So let's not let others limit us anymore. Let's not allow the pressures of the world we live in, you know, spoil our potential. That's not God's plan. Let's start to take some risks. I want to challenge you guys today, especially you men, to start trusting in God as you've never trusted before. To start seeing him as you've never seen him before. As an awesome heavenly Father that's for us. He wants the best for us. And he will go, if we're wanting him, he'll go to any lengths to help us and to strengthen us. I believe with God's help, we can all be a little bit more wild at heart, can't we? And I want to challenge you right now. How about if we stand? I just want to challenge you guys. Who amongst us here wants to be a little bit more wild at heart? Just lift your hand. If you want to be a little bit more wild at heart, the sort of thing we've been talking about, a little bit more out there, exciting for our families and our kids. I think that's all of us. Yeah, you ladies too. You can put your hands up. Who wants to be a little bit more out there? You young guys that aren't dads yet, you can put your hands up too. That day will come. Now, let's be wild about the possibilities that day will come. And it's going to be good. Who wants, with God's help, to be a little bit more wild at heart? Because we can't. He doesn't expect us to do it on our own. I need God's help every day, actually. And I'm so pleased that he's right there to help me when I ask him. Isn't that good? We've got a Heavenly Father that's right there. He's wildly in love with us. He's wildly excited about us. He's wildly excited about our families, the potential of our kids, our grandkids, and even down to our great-grandkids and more. And we can begin, we can be the ones who begin that that faith and release that in the generations to come. So let's do that. And some of you might like to come to the front today and just to put a real stake in the ground and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to go against the flow. I want to be wildly in love with Him. I want to experience everything He's got for me. Instead of being limited and pressured and shaped by the other things that are going on around me, I want to step out. If that's you today, I just encourage you to come and stand at the front here. Might be some of you ladies that want to get involved and really support your husbands and have God in your life as number one as well. So just come if you'd like to. The altar's open. Let's make some commitments and some change today to be the sort of people that God dreams we can become. So bless you guys. Just come as you'd like to.